Your grace is enough.
Your grace is enough.
Your grace is enough.
God, your grace,
it's enough for me. You are so mighty, Lord.
Your grace is enough.
Your grace.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, arise and let every enemy be scattered. We lift you up, O God, in our praise, in our worship and our adoration. And we thank you, Lord God, that as the shout of victory proceeds forth out of our mouths, as we, O God, mimic you, Lord, O God, that every stronghold, every wall that separates us, O God, from our inheritance, separates us, O God, from our victories, separates us, O God, from the favor and the goodness that you have for us, that those walls collapse, every stronghold, O God, is brought to naught, every strong man is bound, and Lord, O God, we take spoil and we receive of your abundance this day. Thank you, Father, for your manifold blessings. Thank you, Father, that you are resolving situations, O God, that we have no power over. Your healing bodies that have been already assigned to a death certificate. But Lord, O God, you are our healer, the restorer of our soul. God, in this year, Father, that you have ordained and declared for us as a year in which, O God, there will always be restoration and restructuring. Father, restructure and restore all things unto us. For your glory and honor we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you all. You may be seated. Today we begin from a new book, this time from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. As I was coming in this evening, and I reflected on the book that we are about to study, and who knows, this book might take us the rest of the year. I don't know. And even if it did, won't even still do justice to it. But what I do know is that if we listen to the instructions given to us right here in the book of Proverbs, that our lives will forever be changed. My life will be changed, your life will be changed. I am coming at this book from the position of somebody who is totally a novice and ignorant of everything that is about to be said. I'm not coming at it from the position of an expert, a know-it-all, but from a position of somebody who's willing and ready to learn. Now, as we go through the book of Proverbs, we've got to understand that it will just be just that without the application of the truths that we are about to explore. Now, some of the things we're going to study from this book of Proverbs will shake you and I to the core. Because if you want to build, you've got to lay a good, strong foundation. And if you want to lay a foundation, you've got to dig deep to a place where the soil is no longer an issue. And if you cannot find stable ground, there are posts and pillars that you put, that you drive down to make sure that your building does not shift unnecessarily. No matter how beautiful your house is, if it is not built on a good foundation, it's useless. That makes sense, right? Yeah. So the first segment of Proverbs will bring us to address the issue of wisdom. Wisdom. Now, when we go through this book, I am certain that God is going to help us receive a restructuring in our thinking. Word of God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. I need my thinking to change. The thinking that got me to where I am now, good as it may not be sufficient for the next place God wants to take me. So I need to learn new skills, hone in on particular issues or principles of life, which means there are certain things that I'm going to have to discard. When we are sending a shuttle to the moon or to Mars or whatever, there are certain places where particular units can get to, and the shuttle has to shed it. The Bible tells us, and we know from real life, about something called metamorphosis. Now, an egg to a larva, to a pupa, to a butterfly. All of those stages are necessary. But an egg that does not change to the larva state will never become a butterfly. A larva that does not go through the process of becoming a pupa will never become a butterfly. Process, change, metamorphosis, transformation brings us to wholeness. And every one of us as believers must be willing to change. I don't know why my thought went there. I don't know whether it's the Holy Spirit or me. But there was a movie years ago. Eddie Murphy says, change is good, donkey. Yeah, change is good. Let's take a vote. Was that the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Change is good. Change is necessary. But you know, there are so many people who are afraid of change. Change challenges them. Change causes them to live in fear. Change frightens them. Change means that things are not the same as they used to be. A blind man is afraid of change because he knows how many steps he needs to take from here to that chair. He's gone through it, he's calculated it, he knows exactly how things have to be. And if you make any change, you collapse his world. For us as believers, change should not be frightening. For the word of God says, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be what? Changed. Change is not something that we should be afraid of. Change is something that we must embrace. But not just change for change's sake, but change with a purpose. Praise the Lord. Here in the book of Proverbs, the book starts out with giving us somewhat an introduction. It is very rare in any of the books, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that an introduction of what we're going to go into is given to us. But as we come to the book of Proverbs, it seems to me that he's giving us an introduction. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, that statement is telling. The Proverbs of Solomon, and then he said, the son of David, King of Israel. Now we can look at it and say he's saying, well, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, who is King of Israel. We can see it that way. But in reality, what he's saying is the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, King of Israel. David is the King of Israel. I am his son. That is an act of humility right from the very beginning. Are you with me? And so he's calling every one of us to a place of humility. So just humble yourself, because there are things you're going to learn. Hallelujah. The King of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. So he's telling us these proverbs are assigned to accomplish some primary things. To know wisdom and instruction. Now, wisdom is the true application of knowledge. Wisdom is the act of obeying instruction. It's the application of knowledge, but also the obedience to instruction or the word of God. Now, when we do understand that, we will understand when we come to later chapters, like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, where wisdom is personalized, and is personalized to represent who Jesus is. And when we look at Jesus, we see the application of wisdom, the application of knowledge. We see one who obeyed the instruction. Now, the next word that he says here, to know wisdom and instruction. Now, that word instruction is a very interesting word. The word is the word musar, and it means chastisement, rebuke. That's what it means. So right from the beginning, it's saying to know wisdom and to know chastisement, rebuke, which forces you to become discerning. So as we come through this book, some practical things that we are going to appreciate is God bringing us to that place where we become wise, we become perceptive, we become discerning individuals. Because not everything that glitters is gold. You've got to be able to separate, differentiate differences. And that is another definition of wisdom. The ability to differentiate differences. A world that is foolish cannot differentiate differences. And we live in that world today where we cannot even differentiate between men and women. A Supreme Court judge was asked while he was being interviewed, can you tell me what a woman is? And she says, no, I can't. And she was a woman. I cannot tell you what a woman is. That means you cannot tell me who you are. And she thought that was a very smart answer. To to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to perceive the words of understanding. Have you ever been in a situation where someone is trying to explain something to you and you can't get it? I don't get it. I don't see it. Well, I'm not able to illustrate what I want to illustrate to you as I would like to. But let me put it this way. There is one pebble, two pebbles, three pebbles, four pebbles. One, two, three, four. And he said to this individual, with one move, make this one four, one, two, three, and four. And when you look at it, it seems so impossible. There's no way with one move you can make, reverse this thing and make it one, two, three, and four. Huh? With one move? Now, if you understand then, and you can go past the limitations of the blockage that is before you, you will see how you can make that difference. But if you don't, it is an impossibility. And what the Word of God is going to bring us to is a place to think outside the box. Amen? Think outside the box and not just see things the way everybody else sees it, but see it with a perception that is beyond the natural. I do believe that as we study through the book of Proverbs, if we make application and allow an impartation of the wisdom of God, for the Word of God says Jesus is the wisdom of God, that God will make us ordinary people extraordinary in every area of life, in every sphere, that God will take a simple person that is just moving around counting their pennies and translate them, transform them, do a work of metamorphosis, and that person, because now they have the perception of understanding, will make them millionaires. I met a young man. Mama and I met him maybe about 15 years ago. We're ministering in the great island of Trinidad and Tobago. And the pastor introduced us to this young man. He'd lost his father and mother when he was very young. And he and his sister were orphaned. One day he was walking and he sees a penny and he picks it up. And he saw another penny, picks it up. And somehow he was finding coins. And you take all these pennies and you go to the bank and give it to the banker and you start counting the pennies. You know, he was really young and you do all the counting and stuff like that for him and on. He continued saving these pennies until in his late teens, this young man from picking pennies. Real life, I saw the guy. Was a millionaire. He did not look at a penny as nothing. He saw it as important. Now we see the same thing with our Lord Jesus Christ. He's fed 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he says to his disciples, gather the fragments. Gather the fragments? Yes. Gather the fragments. And they ended up with 12 baskets. Fragments were important. Perceiving the words of understanding. Wasting nothing. There are opportunities being released to us day in and day out. And many go past it, but others come and see opportunities. My prayer for you and for me is that we see the opportunities that are presented to us. Some people see problems, and some see solutions, or seek solutions. Do you know that life happens because of solutions to problems? That really, the real reason why you are being paid for anything is because of the problems that you solve. If you solve no problems for nobody, there's no reason to pay you. If you've been paid when you've solved no problems, you are still poor. But a problem solver who's learned and perceives understanding, for the word of God says, in all of your getting, get understanding. Because when you have understanding, you can recreate situations again and again. No matter where you are placed, you know exactly what to do. Because you have understanding. A man who has understanding understands that you don't need soil to grow a plant. If you have understanding on how things grow, you can understand that you can grow things in the air. And there are people who are growing things in the air. We don't have soil. Well, we don't need soil. I have understanding. Understanding will give you breakthroughs in experiences and bring about manifestations that were not possible if there's no understanding. So he says, to know wisdom, to know instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding, to receive it, to embrace it. The words of wisdom. When wisdom is spoken around you, you get it. Yes, I get it. I understand it. Now, that understanding will help you make application. It says, it goes on and says, to receive the instruction. To receive the instruction of wisdom. To receive the instruction of wisdom, the chastisement, the reproof of wisdom. Wisdom will rebuke you. Not necessarily because whatever it is that you are doing right now is not good or not right, but for the level that you are now, that's no good. That's no good. You know, in where you're coming now, you need to know your salad fork. You need to know your dessert fork. You need to know how to get your soup. You see, at one level, you grab your spoon and you take your soup from the top down. But proper etiquette, you go from the bottom up. You go like this. Not like this. That you're going like this. Where did this one come from? Bushman. So you grow, you learn. You watch what other people are doing stylishly. You know, sometimes I point at stuff and mama, stop pointing. That's not the way you do it. Don't point and don't turn your whole head. Well, different places, different levels, different ways of carrying yourself. There are times that you need to pipe down. Paul says, I learned to be all things to all men. That's called the instruction of wisdom. The times when you don't say everything. You calculate your words and say what is needed and not more. Those are all experiences in the act of wisdom. It's called growing up. Amen? To receive the instruction of wisdom, the instruction of justice, the instruction of judgment, the instruction of equity. Wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. Wow. That's a loaded verse. I don't know if I should go deeper on this because I might end up doing this one verse for the next 2 weeks. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Notice the statement, to receive. You receive it. That means you accept it. You embrace it. You embrace wisdom. Justice. Justice. What is that? What is justice? Is justice always fair? Justice ultimately is doing and coming to the right conclusion concerning a particular situation and making proper judgment based on what is the just thing to do. And it's related to that word equity. Let's say, for example, and we can appreciate this in our society today. You have a group of people that have been racially discriminated against. They don't have the best teachers. They don't have the right tools to learn with. They don't have proper classrooms. They don't have computers. They don't have the right books to study with. They've not been open to what others are open to. Their world is limited, not because of their own fault, but because of how the system has worked against them. How does that person compete with somebody else who has all kinds of opportunities? They've been open to all kinds of stuff. They see, they've traveled and all of that, and you're asking them questions. They've never seen a plane. And you're asking them about planes. Questions about planes. They've never seen a plane before. You're talking to them about pilots. You're talking to them about engines, and they have no idea. You just put them together to answer the same questions. But if they asked you that had all that great ideas, how to live inside that forest and survive, you will not last a second. And you think you're smarter than them? No, they're just as smart as you are based on what they've been open to. So what is justice? Justice is appreciating the situations that are before you and making sense of it and finding what is the right thing to do in this particular situation. So it is not about black and white. No, it's not about black and white. So, for example, when we come to the book of Proverbs later on, it says, if a man steals and is not caught, it's fine. But if they catch you, you got to pay. Now, what do you mean? Stealing is wrong. No, but I don't know why you went to steal. I don't know why you went to steal. Now, if you were put in the same situation, would you have done differently? I'm not here telling you to go steal or anything like that. What I'm saying is that you cannot just deal with people just, okay, well, this is the law. Find out what happened here. Ask questions before you start making judgments and bring about equity, fairness. Praise the Lord. Well, I think with those illustrations, I don't need to go too far on that verse. Because if I stick with it, oh my, we're going to be here for a long time. Or maybe we'll do that some other time. He says, to give subtlety to the simple. To give subtlety to the simple. What is that all about? The word is the word Omar. And it says simply, give in a discerning way to the simple. In other words, if you see somebody that has a simple mind that can be swayed this way, that way, based on whatever it is that you give to them, he says, find a way to give to them what they need without controlling their minds. I'm trying to communicate something. Because of this word, Omar. This word here is the word for prudence. It's another way. I was visiting with a dear man of God, Mom and I, yesterday evening. And he tells us a story about a woman that didn't have much. She had nothing. She had nothing to eat. She was crying out to the Lord, oh God, I need food to eat. I need something to eat. She prayed and she prayed. And she heard the Lord say, go over to that spot there and dig that spot. So she went and she started digging that spot. She had not sown anything in there, but she heard the Lord say, dig that spot. So she said, dig in that spot. She wanted to give up. The Lord says, keep on digging. She kept on digging. And lo and behold, she pulls out a big potato. And this man of God sharing this testimony of this woman. And the woman says, oh God, you know how to trickify. You know how to trickify. Well, that's that word. Trickify. I didn't know how I was going to use that word, but I heard it for a reason. That word is, in a trickish way, find a way to bless that one, but not in such a way that they start following you like a dog. because they think now that you are their source. You get the point? So it's about discernment. It's about how to give to people. Release something into the hands of somebody without controlling them. Sometimes people give to control, to manipulate. And God says to give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. These are some of the things we want to accomplish. I want to bring young men to a place where they have knowledge and discretion. I hope we're learning something, we're picking up something. Because these are things that God, in a very common sense way, wants us to embrace and apply. My prayer is that God will infuse into our spirit tonight and through our time of studying the book of Proverbs, His divine wisdom, so that we can carry ourselves in the delicate integrity and grace that God gives, so that we can be a blessing to as many people as possible. There is a wise way to deal with things, to handle things, to address complex situations, to diffuse issues, instead of things escalating, knowing how to handle situations. Now, in this particular verse, what God's word is saying to us is, listen, find a good way to deal with people. Be discerning. Evaluate situations properly. The president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, once said, trust but verify. Love does not mean not verifying. Yes, love believeth all things. But it still verifies. And as we deal with people, we need to know where they're coming from, how I need to deal with this person. That means we cannot deal with everybody the same way. Hello? As a pastor, I cannot deal with everybody the same way. There are some people that I know, if I spend 10 minutes with them, that 10 minutes is going to mean them placing their faith and their trust and everything on me, and they'll be following me like a puppy all over the place. So I cannot do that. The best thing for me to do is to deal differently with that person. But this person over here, if I spend 10 minutes with them, they're going to take that 10 minutes and apply what I say to them in that 10 minutes, and they're not going to look for me, they're not going to talk to me, they're not going to ask me anything for the next 20 years. They've gotten what they need, and they're going to run with it. So it is best for me to invest that 10 minutes now. That makes sense? Everybody's not the same. And the whole idea is not to create a level of dependence, but rather to generate wisdom, understanding and knowledge in every one of us so that we can carry ourselves fully fulfilled in ourselves. And being fulfilled, bring what we've got to the table so that everybody is ministered to. Because God's grace is sufficient. And I'll conclude with verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. That's exactly what I was just talking. I should have just gone to the verse. A wise man will hear and will increase learning by application. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. In other words, he's going to grow and become somebody that counsels others. He attains. He grows. He increases. He knows how to manage his situation and make the best of what he's got. I don't have this, I don't have that. And the Lord, back to the Lord with his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he asked the question, what do we have? Elijah says to the woman that came to him asking about her sons are about to be sold into slavery, what do you have in your house? It's about using what we've got to do what we need to do. Identifying what you have to accomplish what you need to accomplish. As a church, based on our stats, we should not be doing a lot of the things that we do. But wisdom says, understanding says, knowledge says, know what you've got and effectively use what you've got to reach as many as you can. But if you dwell on just what you've got and think about what you've got as nothing, then you will end up with nothing. But if you think at that which you have as something and important and capable, the capacity to accomplish more will come out of the ordinary that you think you have. So Jesus takes water and turns it into wine. Are we together? It's the application. What wisdom did he apply? He said, go fill those water pots. And the Bible tells us that those water pots were the water pots that they used when they came in. And at the time people came for that wedding party, all of those water pots were full. So when he filled up those water pots, he backed up time. Just like it was when the first came. Fill those water pots. And I've just backed up time to the beginning. Hezekiah said, back up. back up the sun. 10 degrees. So it is like what you just told me that I'm going to die You were not here to tell me that. Are you with me? Back it up. That comes from understanding. So when I pray about certain things, I can pray, Lord, before this problem started, God, back up time and wipe out everything from that time to now and give me a fresh start. Praise God. It's the grace of understanding. And when you have understanding, faith locks in. Faith is not something that you force. Faith is something that is normal to you when you understand the God that you serve. Amen? Hallelujah. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You'll be able to give the right word at the right time because you've grown, you've learned, and you keep on learning. You and I must never stop learning. Amen? Learn, just keep on learning. A young man in this house, I was talking to him maybe around 5 something in the morning. He sent me a message and I responded to his message. At that time of the day, I said, "Are you always up this early?" He said, "Yes, I get up all the time at this time." I said, "Wow, really?" He said, "Yeah, I get up at this time and then I take my instrument and I practice it for about an hour. And I have my devotional time." I said, "You do that every day?" He said, "Yeah." And I knew, oh, if this guy wakes up that early, spends time with the Lord, and spends an hour practicing his craft, an hour every day, he is going to do some amazing things in the days to come because he's investing in doing something. So when I see him now, I see him differently. This guy is going to do something with his life. Some people, invest nothing. They learn nothing. They give nothing. They just sit there like a bump on a rock, log and expect people to just do stuff for them all the way through. There's a place for that. But you've got to do what you have been called to do and be the best at what God has called you to do. I cannot do everything. None of us can do everything. But what I can say is this, that as an individual, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But who is the Christ who strengthens me? Is the Christ who serves. And I am locked and connected with other people who know how to do their stuff. So guess what? I am not going to spend my time breaking my head trying to solve a problem when I know he knows how to do it. Come on. I'm going to focus on me and what I'm supposed to bring to the table and let him do his thing. Let her do her thing. That's how when we are connected together, we get to do all things. Because God connects you with people that know how to do stuff. And because they know how, we know how. And because we know how, I know how. Because the we is I, and the I is we. That's where we stop tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I trust that there's at least one thing that you're going to take away with you today that you're going to work on, apply, and utilize. Let us pray. Father, we place our trust in you. We are fully surrendered to your will. Grant us the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge that we need to be men of extraordinary skills, men and women of extraordinary accomplishments, men and women that take the little that we've got and produce much. Because you guide us day by day. Help us, O God, to apply the truth of your word, the wisdom of your word, that our lives, O God, may have meaning, purpose, direction, now and always, to the glory of our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for every one of you. I don't know if we have anyone online on Zoom, but it's a joy to have Sister Gail Jacobs with us. She is a daughter in this house. She moved away about 4 years ago. Going on five. And we still miss you. Thank God for you. We're part of this family. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I see Brother Bill and Sister Carol. Ah, what am I looking at? Okay, I think I remember this room. Well, bless you. It's good to see you both. It's always a joy to see your faces, see your smiles, and just we enjoy your fellowship, even though physically you're not here with us and you're down south. I try to say something about the U.S. so that you guys can relate with us all the time. Well, bless you. Thank you so very much. And I see Frau Toying Lawani is on also. Well, bless you. You have a great evening. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Friday's prayer meeting. I trust that we're going to have a wonderful time of prayer together. God bless you all. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord, and good night. Bless you. Did I take the offering? Offering.